Hello, this is Pastor Tom Pickens of Antelope Valley Christian Center, and you are listening to The Word of Victory.
Say, watch out for the things and stuff. Turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 12, and we're going to start reading at verse 13. Luke chapter 12, beginning with verse 13, and we're talking about watch out for the things and stuff. Now, when I say things and stuff, you guys know what I'm talking about? You guys need to turn me down. I'm going to have to use a handheld mic. You guys know what I mean when I say things and stuff? What do I mean? Cars, homes, clothes, food, mortgages. That's what I'm talking about. So when I say watch out for the things and stuff, I'm talking about the things and stuff that we are operating in this world, okay? All right, so do you have Luke chapter 12? And I'm going to be reading from the Amplified Bible, beginning with verse 13. Someone from the crowd said to him, "Master, order my brother to divide the inheritance and share it with me." But he told him, "Man, who has appointed me a judge or an umpire and a divider over you?" And he said to them, "Guard yourselves and keep free from all covetousness, the immoderate desire for wealth, the greedy longing to have more. For a man's life does not consist in and is not derived from possessing overflowing abundance or that which is over and above his needs." Then he told them a parable saying, "The land of a rich man was fertile and yielded plentifully. And he considered and debated within himself," the man did. He said to himself, "What shall I do? I'm out of room. I don't have any place in which to gather my harvest." And he said, "I know what I'll do. I will pull down my storehouses and I will build larger ones. And that's where I'm going to put all my things and stuff. And I will say to myself, soul, you have many good things laid up. You have enough for many years. Take your ease. Eat, drink, and enjoy your life merrily. But God," right. Say, "but God." "But God said to him, 'You fool, yes. This very night, they," the messengers of God, "will demand your soul of you, and all the things and the stuff that you have prepared, whose will they be now?" So it is with one who continues to lay up and hoard possessions for himself and is not rich in his relationship with God. This is how he fares. Now let's go back and let's examine, first of all, how did he fail? Number one, he failed to realize that he was only a steward and not the owner of his goods. Number two, he failed to have an eternal perspective. In other words, you guys have to turn me down. This is really bugging me. In other words, he realized that he thought that the things and the stuff were going to keep him going. And he's like, I'm going to build up all this. Look, I got all the riches in the world. I got so much stuff. I got to tear down all my mansions so I have enough space for everything. And he did all that and stocked everything up. And then he stepped back and he said, look at me. Check it out. Look at me. Ooh, he said, "So you have done good. Ooh, look at you. Look, all you need to do is sit back, eat, drink, and be merry, because you won't need to work another day in your life." But when he did, somebody that's bigger than him said, "Thou fool. If you are foolish enough to think that the things and the stuff in this world are going to get you into heaven, you are a fool. Because I have been to many funerals, and I have yet to see a U-Haul backed up to a hearse. You cannot take it with you." And that is what he failed to understand. You see, you can get so caught up in what you don't have, and then you not only don't appreciate what you do have, but you can't appreciate what God has for you because you're so consumed with what you do have. God has more for us if we will just not allow the things and the stuff to have us, but allow God to have us, then the things and the stuff will freely be given to us once we get it in perspective. This guy failed to understand that. He missed the mark. He failed to consider how brief this earthly life will be. Tomorrow is not counted to you.
That's all right.
We only know who holds the future, but we don't know when the future holds for us.
Yes.
So you don't know when it's going to be your last day.
Right.
I guarantee you, my sister-in-law, that's with the Lord now, she didn't know January 2nd on one of my granddaughter's birthdays that she was going to die? But was she prepared? We know that we only come this way once in earthen vessels. We know that. But we also know that there is a hell to shun and a heaven to gain. So God is saying, while you have breath in your veins right now, while time is on your side, make a decision to trust in me and not in the riches. Right. Don't trust in me when it's going good and when the sun is shining and the money is overflowing and the relationships are great and the kids are doing well. Yes, that's a good time to praise him. But oh, it's hard to press in when the money is fine. Yeah. It's hard to press in when the relationships are bad. Oh, it's hard to press in when the kids are not acting right. But the same word that says, my God shall supply all of your needs according to his riches and glory, is the same God that said, whether the sun is shining or whether it's stormy outside, I will supply your needs. How? According to my riches and glory by Christ Jesus. This man did not know that. He was consumed by his own greatness. Let us not fall into the trap. Let us not hover and covet after things that we don't have. All right, but let us covet after a better relationship with the Lord. Let us desire to spend more time in prayer with the Lord. Let us desire to come to Bible study, to come to church every week. Let us show God that he can be proud of us right now. You don't want to wait till you get to heaven. And God say, you're saved, but that's about it. Come on in. No. You want God to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Come on in. That's what I'm looking for. I'm looking for him to say, well done. You know why? Because I am putting God first in my life. What did he do? He talked about building barns, but instead, he had a burial. He said he had many years to live, but God said, this night. He thought he was wise, but God said he was a
fool.
God said he was a
fool.
Exactly.
Right.
Why? Because he did not give God first place in his life. Now, Satan is the author, the God of this world. We know that he goes to and fro seeking whom he may devour, right? Well, you know he wants to devour Christians. You know he wants to stop us. You know he wants us to look defeated. Not make it in any aspect of life. He wants our lives to look raggedy. He wants us to be nervous when things are not flourishing. That's what Satan wants. That is not what God provides for us. God said, you will have a good life if you put me first in your life. If you forget about the things and the stuff and get so caught up in me, you'll look around and say, oh my gosh, how did I amass all of this? How did I amass all of this? By putting God first in your life. That's a simple thing. Just give God first place in your life. And then give God the credit for what you've got. That's where some people forget it. They get so caught up in the things and the stuff. They don't have time to come to church anymore because they got to take their private jet to Paris.
Yeah.
Don't have time to get out of bed, so they all just, you know, watch it live stream. We're missing it, people. We are missing it when we put God second place in our lives. I'm telling you that right now. If you are not giving God quality time by praying on a daily basis, if you are not coming and hearing the word on a daily basis, if you don't have a devotional time with God, you are missing it. You're missing, let me say it like this, you're missing out. You're missing out on a great relationship. You see, the more time you spend with God, the more acquainted you are with the Master. Therefore, he said, my sheep know my voice. So when you're driving a car down the street and God knows that there's a wreck about to happen and you're about to be a part of it, on the inside of you, on the inside of his kids, they sense something and they just stop, even though the light is green. And then they see some crazy person go straight through. But for the grace of God. See, it's because you spent time with your Master that you knew his voice when he said, stop. Don't go any further. You know, the Bible says that we've entertained angels unaware. Because you know why? They look just like us.
Come on now.
When they enter the earth, they look just like us. We don't know who they are. You don't know, but I know there have been times where we've ministered to someone and then we got ready to turn around to tell them thank you and they just disappear. They just disappear. Well, I'm sure that was an angel. I am telling you something. The more time you spend with God, the easier it is to hear his voice. Now, we've all experienced times when we know that something told us to do something. Ladies, let's just say a pocketbook. You switch pocketbooks. And something told you to go back and look in that other purse because that you left something. You're like, and you're arguing now with the Holy Spirit. No, I know I got everything. I'm good. Good to go. And you get in the car and you go on down there and then you get to the place where you're getting ready to go and you reach in to get your wallet and guess what? It's not in there. You know what? And then you'll say this, man, something told me to check that purse again. See, well, the more time you spend with God, the more you'll heed to that voice and the more he says, my sheep, they know my voice. Now, wouldn't it be wonderful if God would just scream out or make a thunder during the day or something to get our attention? That would be great. But you see, that wouldn't be trusting God. He said, I am in the still, quiet voice. He's not in all the noise. So don't look for God to come through your house screaming your name, Donna. Donna, this is God. This is what I want to do with your life. That's not going to happen.
No.
Oh, I mean, that would be great. Wouldn't that be great? Oh, my gosh. Donna, do this, do that. Go there, go there. No. That's not how he's chosen to operate. And he's got everything in his right to do things the way he wants them done. He wants us to learn how to trust him. You want your children to trust you. They ask you to purchase something for them, and you're like, yes, I'm going to get that to you. Do they keep coming back to you every day? Mommy, are you going to get it? Dad, are you going to get it? Are you going to get it? They don't do that. They have confidence in you. But that's not how we do God. We're like, oh, God, I need you to hurry up. God is never late. We just need to know that. See, we gotta receive God on his own terms. We can't tell God how to act. We can't tell God what time to show up or when or where. He's like, that isn't trusting me. That's information that you have in advance. Anybody can follow the instructions. Ooh, but not everybody can follow the voice of the Spirit of God. And I am here to tell you, God is your best friend. And he is endeavoring to keep every one of us from trouble. God knows when trouble is lurking around in our lives. God knows when Satan has planted people in your life that you need to run as fast as you can from them. But you're sitting there making excuses as to why this needs to be a person in your life. Yet on the inside, that still small voice is scratching at you. You got an unhealthy, an uneasy feeling about this. And when we obey the voice of God, man, we look on down the line and we find out, oh my God. If I had gone along with what my flesh was telling me to do, I would be in danger. But knowing the voice of God, and here's one way that we can realize how important it is to follow the voice of God. When you are in need of something, when you are lacking something, now is the time to trust God. Now is the time to do the very opposite of what this gentleman did and begin to say, oh God, I will trust you. I will release all of the issues of life that are beating upon my door into your hands. I will roll the whole of the care over on you because you care for me. When we do that in 2014, we will rise above the circumstances of life. People will look at you and on your jobs and they'll say, you seem to be so at peace. How is it that you can be so peaceful? And they know the circumstances haven't changed. Why is it that you're able to be peaceful? Because you've cast the whole of your care on God. He's just sitting there waiting for you to just release it. We're saying, move God, move. God said, just give it to me, give it to me. I can't do anything until you release it. Are you with me on that? All right, let's look at another passage. Let's go over to Psalms chapter 52 and see what he has to say about this. We are talking about watch out for the things and stuff. You don't want the issues of life, the cares of this world to take advantage of you and to cause you to stumble and have a miserable life. We are supposed to have not only just a life, but what kind of life? Life more abundantly. That's the power, the honest and truthfully, God's desire, people, I'm telling you right now, is that you be blessed. You are his children. He wants the best that you could possibly imagine for yourself. He wants us to operate in the peace of God. He wants you to operate in the blessings of God. He's waiting on us. He's just saying, just cast the whole of your care on me. Forget about the house that was foreclosed on. Forget about the car that was wrecked. Forget about this, that, and the other. Forget about the divorce. Forget about the bad relationship. God said, put all that behind you. And just do it. Just do one thing that Paul did. Paul said, this one thing I do, if I don't do anything else, I forget those things which are behind. Because if you don't let those things that are behind release, they will grip you and you cannot move forward in the future. So Paul said, this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth for the prize for the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. People, there is a prize. There is a high prize for those of us that trust God. God will spare your life by many instances when you obey the voice of God. Many times you don't even know it's the voice of God, but you just know something scratching on the inside and something is telling you to go here, go there, do this or do that, or don't do the other. Don't even leave the house today. When you know God, you will know that it is the voice of God. All right, in Psalms 52, are you there? And let's begin with verse 7. He says, lo, this is the man that made not God his strength. Okay, this is a man that made not God his strength, which means we can do this. We can make God not our strength. Did you know that? This is the man that made not God his strength, but what did he do? He trusted in the abundance of his riches and strengthened himself in his wickedness. Ooh, see, some people can't handle wealth. They end up becoming more wicked than they were before they had the wealth. You know why? Because the wealth has them. God already knows this. He's trying to get you to get things in order. You trust me, and then the things and the stuff will follow. But if you're out there trying to amass wealth and riches for you and working two and three jobs trying to get all this money so you can get you a Bentley or something like that, then God is not in that. You will not be blessed in your deeds. If you want what God has for you, put God first. To learn how to obey the voice of the Holy Spirit. Learn how to trust God. Yeah. Woo! Even when the tears are flowing down your eyes and the issues of life are beating upon your doors, you're saying, but God, I know that you said you'd never leave me nor forsake me. Woo! You said, lo, I'm with you always, even into the ends of the earth. So that means right now, in the midst of this turmoil and this darkness that I am in the midst of, you're telling me you are here in my midst. That's what I'm telling you. And I guarantee you, the more you give to God. You see, the reason people, Christians, don't tithe, the ones that don't, because they don't trust God. They're afraid that if they give that 10%, then they're not going to be able to pay a certain bill that they have coming in the mail. So they just give God so much. Do you understand that the Bible says, will a man rob God? We're talking about God robbers. How in the world can we on earth rob God? He asked the question, will a man rob God? They were like, what the heck? How can we rob you? He says, oh, in tithes and in offerings. When we withhold the tithe from God, we become a God robber. And when we stand before God, you have to give an account for that. He's going to say, why'd you steal my money? Why were you wearing my money? Why were you driving my money? Why were you living in my money? I would have given you that. I would have put you in that home. I would have put you in that car. I would have given you those clothes. But you chose to rob me. They couldn't figure it out. Any more than the disciples could understand, having served Jesus 3.5 years, seeing all the miracles and the wonders and the works that he did, they could not comprehend when Jesus said, hey guys, it is of utmost necessity that I leave. They're thinking, what could be greater than raising the dead, opening the eyes of the blind, and healing the lepers? What in the world could be better than that?
The Word of Victory has been brought to you by Antelope Valley Christian Center, which is pastored by Dr. Tom Pickens. We are located at 304 West Lancaster Boulevard in Lancaster. For more information about Antelope Valley Christian Center, call 661-949-7200 or visit us on the web at avccusa.org.